following is a presentation of the Reformation Bible Society. It is a recorded breakout session from the August 3rd, 2024 conference in Lynchburg, Virginia.
All right, so next up, we have Pastor Emiru.
Yes.
All right. He's from Ethiopia, but he lives in Indianapolis. He is the pastor of Open Door Baptist Church. He is translating the scriptures into Amharic, which is the official Ethiopian language. Currently, the New Testament and the Psalms are finished and in circulation. The Old Testament is currently in progress. He is married with 4 children. 2 of them are adopted. He has 8 grandchildren, with number 9 on the way.
Thank you very much. I'm not talking for a long time, but I want to introduce you what I'm working on, and I will also say brief things about the influence of Septuagint on Amharic translation as a whole. The Amharic translation is done on both Old Testament and New Testament in many translations in Ethiopia. By the way, there are 88 languages in Ethiopia. And among them, the widely spoken language is Amharic. There is also a dominantly spoken language called Oromo, my wife's language. My wife is from another tribe. I believe that whoever believes in the Lord and converted will be one tribe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, a translation history, just to give you a brief history, the history of Amharic Bible translation can be divided into 3 sections. One, before 19th century, the first translation, which is mainly known as Ethiopic translation, Ge'ez translation, it is suggested that it's been translated from 250 to 350 AD and onwards. It is only done on the New Testament. It is not done on Old Testament. And the second one, most recently, is the full Amharic Bible translation, which is called Abba Rumi translation. And it is translated in 1809 to 1819, after the formation of the British and Foreign Bible Society. It was translated in Cairo. This man, Abba Rumi, was a monk. He resided in Cairo. For some reason, he was traveling in the Middle East area. And he met British missionaries, and they sat together and they translated it within 10 years. It is the most accurate translation and the first Amharic translation, but the language cannot be used for our generation because it has so many archaic words, and the way it is written is not also intelligible for the present day readers. The other one is before World War II. Before World War II, as the King Emperor Haile Selassie came to position just before the war broke, there was one British missionary called Alfred Buckston. He translated, by the guidance and by the instruction of King Haile Selassie, he translated the New Testament and completed the work, and the war broke, and the document, all of it, is taken to UK in London, but the German bombers bombed the place where it was stored, and it was all of it is destroyed. Mm-hmm. But one was left, and that one was brought to here into United States. Probably some of you know the name Donald Barnhouse, famous Presbyterian preacher, and he took that one copy of New Testament, and he was revising it and re-revising it by use of some Ethiopian speakers, And finally, it was printed just after the war and brought to the emperor. And it has never been used to circulation, that Bible, that New Testament. The reason is there are two main flaws in Revelation 19, verse 10, and in Revelation 22, verse 9. It is liked by many Ethiopians. If you be Orthodox Ethiopian, you will like that translation. But the king was not happy. He was upset because the man John, who saw the revelation, when the angel was explaining about that, he was about to bow down and to give him homage. But the angel said, "Don't do that. I'm just like you." But the man translated it that just bow for me and worship me, it is acceptable. So this is the belief of Orthodoxes, but King Haile Selassie was not happy because it was not rightly translated. Then the king was not happy. He was really furious about it. And Donald Barnhouse came back from Ethiopia and went back again to meet the king. And he met the king, and he apologized to the king. And the king says, "That's fine. Let us do another one." So the committee established, and the famous King Haile Selassie translation commenced. By the way, I visited Donald Barnhouse's archives in Pennsylvania, Philadelphia. I drove 9 hours with my wife and asked them to give me all the documents, correspondences, and I opened it and I found that small translation, New Testament. And I know about the history of that, and I turned pages and saw 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, it was not there. So you can see that it is based on modern texts. After World War II, so the new translation, Ethiopian Bible, by King, which is called King Haile Selassie translation, is done. And when the translation was about to commence, the New Testament source was given by British and Foreign Bible Society. You know what? It was given to the translators' committee. The 1904 Nestle Aland was given to them. And also the Septuagint was given to them. So the Old Testament is fully translated from Septuagint, and the New Testament is fully translated from Nestle Aland 1904. So it is all modern text. So we don't have really good Amharic translation in Ethiopia. There are about many translations. In 1993, NIV from English is translated to Ethiopia. You know what the problem is. And in 1980, another translation from Good News Bible was done. But the Old Testament is all Septuagint. And in 2008 is Ethiopian millennium, second millennium, because if you go to Ethiopia, you will be 8 years younger because of Julian calendar we follow. The influence of, let me come to the influence of the Septuagint, because we are here in seeing and understanding what Septuagint is really. I'm thankful to be here because I'm now solidifying my stand in the true work of the Lord. Septuagint translation gave so many unbiblical doctrines in Ethiopia. It is highly loved by Orthodox Christians, closer to Oriental Orthodox, as our brother said this morning. It allows so many confusions on many passages of the Old Testament, and the argument given by so many people who are supporting Septuagint is that Jesus and the disciples used them and quoted from them. So people say that in Ethiopia in 1980 and in 2008, the Orthodoxes purely backed the printing of the Bible, having not 66 books, but 81 books, including the 15 apocryphal books. The Catholics think 74, but Ethiopian Orthodox want us to make it 81 books of the Bible. So there are so many arguments, and for the arguments, they want to show so many passages to support that Septuagint is much preferred than the King James, and Septuagint is much preferred than Masoretic text. I am going to give you two passages, but one of the passages taken by my brother Riddle earlier when he was talking about the passages Hebrews 10 with corresponding with Psalms 40. But let me tell you one passage. Romans chapter 3, verses 13 to 18. These six verses are not in the King James. They are not in the King James. They are not in the Masoretic text. When I'm saying they are not, they are there in Romans chapter 3, verse 13 to 18. But they are not in Psalm 14, verse 3. Psalm 14, verse 3 has all of them in the Old Testament. But Psalm 14, verse 3 doesn't have all of them. That is taken from Romans chapter 3, from verse 13 to verse 18. So when you see the Ethiopian Orthodox, Ethiopian Haile Selassie Bible and all other Amharic translations, when you turn to Psalm 14, you will see exactly quoted from Romans chapter 3, verse 3 to verse 13 to verse 18. So they come to you and show you, like Psalm 40, verse 6, in contrast with Hebrews chapter 10, verse 6 to 7. So these six verses are present there, and they show you, and they say, look, the King James has missed them, and the Septuagint is right, and the King James translation is not right. They are saying this. They are arguing against King James by mentioning this. And there is also another verse which is exactly translated in the old Amharic translation, Psalm 110, verse 3. But the Septuagint, which gave Amharic translation, totally missed it, totally. It's amazing how it is disorientating and confusing when you read it from Septuagint and when you read it in King James. I'm not going to mention it, but all these are done in the Ethiopian Amharic translation. The influence of Septuagint is damaging. And it changes the true meaning of the Word of God. And it confuses people from clear understanding that they should have from the Word of our God. So, but it has influence. And I'm happy to be here these days, yesterday and today, and the whole day today. And it helped me to establish my stand strongly than ever I know up to the present. And please pray for us. The Old Testament translation is going on, and we have established in Ethiopia, TBS Ethiopia, unless you have some kind of Bible society in Ethiopia, you cannot import Bible to the country, and you cannot distribute Bibles in the country. The government wants you to show some kind of legality. So we are legally established, and the Lord is helping us. We have office now, and the Lord may give us also a plot of land to have our own society building, and then reach other languages by the grace and by the help of God.
Thank you for listening to this presentation from the Reformation Bible Society. To learn more about our society or to apply for membership, please visit our website, reformationbiblesociety.org.